right, one more test.
One more test.
Please tell me your full name and your social security number. Just your name.
Beckett Schuster.
Okay. Beckett Schuster, welcome to V the People.
It's great to be here. Great to be talking with you and happy to share some of my own experiences with you.
Yes. How are you feeling today, first and foremost?
Certainly, a little bit thinking, but it's part of my mantra. A lot of things down the road, but just confident in something, confident that something will come out of it.
Yeah. One of the things I love the most about you is that I feel like you're always really in touch with how you feel at any given moment. Would you think that's true?
I'm not good at observing that from my own perspective, but I would say from your perspectives, yes, that's probably true that I have a certain way of understanding how I feel.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've always been that way?
No. Definitely took a number of years to develop into someone who can understand how he's feeling. You know, some of my earliest days, I was extremely shy, introverted. Certainly wasn't as in touch with myself, just was thinking about the outer stuff.
Yeah, know? Yeah. How old were you when I first met you?
I was 10, well, between 11 and 12.
Well, I can honestly say you continue to be one of the coolest people I know. Thank you for doing this for me. It's a real honor. And I sent you 10 questions and you feel okay about them.
Perfectly fine.
But we can veer. Like if something calls to you and you want to talk about something else, you just say the word, okay?
Okay, all right.
Okay, so first and foremost, I wanted to talk about being autistic. How do you feel like it has shaped the way you experience movies and storytelling, which I know are two of your favorite things?
That's a good question. I've always been good at interpreting them, you know, but looking at a deeper picture, my earliest days, it was simple enough just to watch it, take it as it came, my opinion. But I think when I was 11, probably a month before I turned 12, that's when I really remember really being able to remember them extremely well.
Mm.
First I didn't care much for it, but I've learned to live with it and actually be proud of it sometimes.
Do you learn to live with being able to memorize movies?
Yes.
Did it bother you at first?
Well, at first I wasn't used to it, and I was surprised that I had this skill in mind. And
oh.
I just feel like it ruined the experience because there were a lot of movies at this period I wasn't able to watch. It just change has never been easy with me. But then again, at the end of the day, none of us really are good with change.
That's so true.
So
you're saying you realized you would start to fixate on memorizing instead of following along?
Well, I've been able to follow along, but the mind wanders typically. And, you know, I've found that I'm passionate about it. But sometimes it was just good enough to have it in the background to kill time. You know, I know my movies. I know the industry pretty well. I have no intention of getting into said industry, but all things considered, yes. I say the way it shapes it is that it allows me to look at things or remember things that most regular viewers don't get.
Ooh, like what?
I guess it's worth noting how I have pretty keen eyesight.
Yes.
And
do you have perfect vision?
Today, still, I think it's a blessing.
Wow, that's cool.
Yes, I wouldn't say, it's hard to give you exact examples, but for example, when I was introduced to a small detail on Seinfeld, I became totally engrossed with said detail. And
what was it?
From season 5, from the season 5 episode The Lip Reader to the finale part 1, if you look on Jerry's shelf, you will see he has a series of VHS tapes.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to veer into that? Because I'm pretty good with the details.
Tell me. So you would, like, focus on that?
Well, I found it on a YouTube video. Okay. I mean, in those early days, I didn't know much about it. These days, I know a lot more than I did when I first heard that detail.
Mm-hmm.
But to expand on detail, if you look on the shelf, you will notice he has the films on video, Arachnophobia, The Crying Game, True Colors, Back to the Future Free, Child's Play 2, Pretty Woman, Goodfellas, and The Hunt for Red October. In a few episodes of Season 5, he has the Disney cartoon Dinosaurs on VHS, and from Season 8 to Season 9, episodes The Andrea Doria to The Slicer, he has The American President.
I love... Have you seen that movie?
I should soon.
Have you seen all the movies on the shelf?
Mostly, I haven't finished Hunt for Red October. I have no intention of watching the Disney cartoon. I'm really good at TV shows, but... I'll check it out because I love my politics.
Yeah.
But there are Easter eggs hidden in a number of these movies, however.
Okay.
To start with, Child's Play 2 stars the actress that played Susan's mother on the show.
Yep.
Pretty Woman stars the actor who played George on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And as did Larry Miller, who played the doorman for one episode.
So are they all movies?
Not all of them.
But some.
Just a few.
Okay.
There's Arachnophobia, the woman he stole the bread from, and the guy who played George lent his voice to the cartoon he has on his shelf a few times.
That's so cool.
I noticed this, and I couldn't help pay attention to it until eventually I said, there's only a few episodes you really pay attention to it, and I've followed that mantra pretty big.
Okay.
Well, it's things like that, or such as... I noticed, long before my mother did, the presidents hanging on the wall in the classroom in School of Rock.
Oh. Do you remember the first time you were watching a movie and you noticed that you were able to memorize certain details?
I know the time period in which I did. I was all over the Wimpy Kid movies.
Okay.
Many years ago, watched them all the time. And I found myself watching the first movie over and over again, but seeing myself remembering, I know what he's going to say next.
Oh.
I can tell what's coming next. And I have not lost this skill yet. If pressured, I know that I can do the entire ending to I, Tonya.
Why don't you go to trivia, like movie trivia? I feel like you could win so much money.
Logistically, I could, but from what I know, they're just... In the Lehigh Valley, there isn't enough of this stuff, you know?
Okay.
New York is fine, but I could never live in New York, you know?
Yeah.
It's the kind of place, it's not for me.
It's too stimulating.
Spent too much time out of that place, and last time I was there, I had a little bit of a bad experience, so I don't want to get into that right now.
Let's move along to the next question.
Sure, next question.
Because I know that, speaking of movies and storytelling...
Continue.
You seem to really click with comedy these days.
Hmm. So,
what do you think it is about comedy that resonates with you?
It's honestly hard to say. I've almost always had a knack of remembering certain jokes. Sarcasm is a kind of comedy that has never been for me.
Oh, you don't like sarcasm.
Well, I believe sarcasm is better when you ask a question sarcastically.
Okay.
When you make blank statements, I will take them very literally, as narcissists typically would take them.
Yes, that is very true.
It's a problem for me, but I guess comedy, I figured it out through the years, developed an interest in, and figured out that George Carlin was the pinnacle of my childhood.
Oh. Is it weird that I don't know who George Carlin is?
George Carlin is considered for many rankings, he's considered the second best comedian of all time behind Richard Pryor.
Okay.
He had a good number of years. He's infamous for a routine called Seven Dirty Words. We talked about seven curse words that really make heads turn.
Oh.
He was in Bill and Ted.
Okay.
He always felt a call to act, but in the '60s, he had a certain good sense about him. But then he left it. He grew a beard, started doing drugs, and he met a woman on the road, and she died a day before he turned 60.
Oh, you know, people die right around their birthdays.
I don't pay much regard to this fact because no one gets to choose when they're born or when they die.
That's
so
true.
So honestly, Sometimes, but there are plenty of weird coincidences.
Yeah. So do you feel like you like the history of comedy or you like the actual joke factor?
It's not the history. It's not the history that fascinates me. I picked up a number of things. My father's always been very funny. He always knew how to make jokes. And I've always known how to pull a good one-liner every once in a while.
You do. I've witnessed it.
Well, I take a lot after my father, and I guess that aspect kind of comes from him. But yes, looking back, George Carlin was definitely the pinnacle of my childhood.
Okay. I feel like I have to know who he is if I saw a picture of him, right?
So you're probably wondering why he's the pinnacle of my childhood if he was what he was.
Yes, I do. And I do know who this person is. Okay. So tell me.
Well, I love Thomas growing up.
That's right.
But before we, and he is definitely my favorite Thomas narrator. I mean, the only other one I think came close to what he could do was Pierce Brosnan. And he only did a movie for them once. Hmm. But he did the first four seasons of the U.S. dub, and he was the favorite voice. I mean, Baldwin just never really... I mean, I respect Baldwin as an actor, but his skill, I don't really have it wasn't for me.
Okay.
But yes, Carlin, the voice of my childhood that I fell in love with, and he was in Cars growing up, I also adored. And figuring out he was in that, realizing this man was everything I was when I was a kid.
Aww.
So that's why I watched his documentary recently.
That's so cool. Can I move on?
Yes, you may.
Okay. How do you think that being autistic gives you a unique perspective on politics of the world?
It has certainly helped me go deep into it.
Okay.
Now, I believe in Wikipedia. I quiz myself on what I was, and I'd find myself that I'm extremely liberal, and I'm proud to be a Democrat.
Love that.
I've looked throughout the, well, I had presidential books. I went from growing up until I could do it blindfolded.
What do you mean? Do what blindfolded?
Name them all. Well, name every president the state they were born in and their political party and recently their favorite baseball team since Kennedy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so developed a perspective on every president's baseball team since Kennedy because before that, we certainly had baseball teams, but they weren't quite.
It was different.
It was a whole different industry back then.
Can we go back? Because I have two follow-up questions.
Sure,
well,
sure.
One is, we have talked about, you have to be careful with Wikipedia.
Yes, I know that, but they're extremely detailed. But I would, however, say, if you're going to read one article about on Wikipedia, read Ted Bundy's.
Oh.
That one gives you a great insight that the movie about him with Zac Efron won't do.
Oh. Zac Efron played Ted Bundy?
7 years ago, they made a movie about him exploring that he met a woman in a Seattle bar in 1969. She was a single mother from Utah, and they dated for a good number of years. When he dropped out of University of Washington, then he went to the University of Utah, and this film chronicles his crimes catching up with him. Because no one really knows when his first murder came. And I agree, along with experts, that he killed more people than he admitted to.
Right, because this was like pre-DNA.
But it faithfully encounters his Florida trial, his two infamous escapes, and his preliminary hearing.
Beck, I need to have like more pop culture catch-ups with you because I did not know this.
Well, but the Wikipedia article gives good insight into what he was growing up. Well, for example, he was born in Vermont. That he also went to the 1968 Republican National Convention.
Oh. I have a serial killer question for you, and then we'll circle back to politics.
Yes, you may.
Do you think that if you got, like, a heart transplant, and you got the heart of an evil person, say, someone like Ted Bundy, do you think that that would change your personality or your morals?
The heart, the brain is the organ you got to pay attention to.
That's what everyone says, but I just feel like your heart is like your soul.
Well, I could, well, literally it could happen. But in terms of these things, I would say that just as Bundy said, I say who I am 24/7.
Interesting. We're going to have to talk more about Ted Bundy.
I nothing would make me happier. Oh, yeah, you like that, didn't you?
Yes. We don't actually have to, but we can.
So, let's circle back to what
yes.
You were.
Okay, presidents, and you were saying, oh, okay. So you feel like because you're autistic, you feel like it's helped you focus on specific things.
Well, autistics are known for having an exceptional memory.
Yes.
And with this skill, I kept flipping through the book the way I flipped through other books, like Atlas's Harry Potter character fandom book that I had. I don't have it anymore, but let's move on. But I digress from that.
That's okay.
And then I got more books. I got memoirs, and I found myself fascinated in certain stories. And I then picked up conventions throughout the years.
Yes, you're very into conventions. I remember this.
Well, and when I heard about some celebs who went to these conventions.
Mm.
Well, I heard Annie Hathaway went to one, Wayne Knight went to one, Will.i.am went to the same one Wayne Knight went to, Bryan Cranston went to one,
Beyonce.
Wikipedia hasn't picked that one up yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, picking those up, I figured, I'm pretty sure that after hearing Bundy's tale, I think I'll have to go to the next Democratic convention physically.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
Only if it's in Philly.
Okay.
And there's 24% chance it could be.
Yeah, absolutely. Who, in your opinion, was one of the best presidents of all time, and who, in your opinion, was one of the worst presidents of all time?
Well, I would say Clinton gets a bad rap, but I would say besides what happened with Monica, mm-hmm. I don't like dishonesty, but he helped us realize that we all make mistakes and that we have a hard time facing the truth of what we've done. But Clinton helped pick us up from our boot, helped pick us up. And Gore, I think, had he won, he would have done great things for our environment.
Good things?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. He won the Nobel Prize, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Another great president, I have to say, is Reagan. He was a terrific communicator. My grandfather was a journalist for him.
Oh, cool.
So he met him. He met Dick Cheney, who was in the House at the time.
Yep.
And met Jimmy Stewart election night because he knew Reagan from the Hollywood days.
Oh, wow.
And I just think that Reagan, in a sense, he was a Republican, he made Democrat-like promises from what I read in the book before it updated when Biden won.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to bring up the commander-in-chief today because it's a very divisive rhetoric that I don't want to get into.
I understand.
One of the worst presidents, I think, is Andrew Johnson.
Okay, why is that?
Well, Lincoln picked him to run out the Union. 6 weeks, he was assassinated into his second term. Well, he was the first president to be impeached. I think that is definitely a notable thing. Well, he took radical Republicans who had passed the 14th Amendment out of his cabinet, and he had certainly had a difficult time, and the way he was, he didn't have he ruined what Lincoln had done so well in his 4 years in office.
Mm-hmm.
And just and he put it down, and Grant and Hayes helped do what he never could do. Yes, in summary, they helped me learn skills, and then I picked up more and more knowledge, and it was hard to forget these things. They stick with me.
Yeah.
And get a profound impact on my perspective. So let me just say that in our history, I know the people who have led us.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I like to cut slack to most of the men because they tried hard.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do look forward to the day when a woman can finally win the office.
Yeah. What? This is a follow-up question. I didn't put it on the list. But what do you think is one of your top three deciding factors when you're choosing a candidate to vote for?
Typically, I go for the Democratic Party. However, with my extensive reading, I note that the Republicans in some elections were a better candidate.
Hmm.
If I were to choose Republican, it would have to be because the Dem was A, inexperienced, B, had some very questionable remarks sometime, and C, was against a principle, and C, was definitely, if they were going to talk bad about China, I knew I couldn't vote for them.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one issue I don't agree with the Dems on.
Okay. Interesting. That's something you feel strongly about.
Quite.
Going back to Bill Clinton really quick, how do you feel about Monica Lewinsky making a comeback? She has her own podcast now. Did you know that?
Plenty of people, I didn't know this. Plenty of people can be defined by one thing, but the real people They look for bigger. They they look for the next new thing. They move on. They say, I did what I did. It was wrong of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to move on. I can grow from this and what I really want to do. So I think, like, in terms of Monica, she definitely could be influenced. After hearing what Clinton had with Epstein,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to deny that he definitely had an eye for, had an ear for women.
Yep.
He didn't know how to look away. But at the end of the day, sometimes it's hard to stick with promises.
Yep.
Sometimes it's hard to.
That's true.
Sometimes you can get carried away. I'll admit that I have sometimes.
Yep.
But we want to say that whatever she was, Clinton was the problem, not her. And it could have been better with the fact that he could have admitted to it much sooner. Had he done that, he would be a bit more beloved.
Hell yeah, Beckett. All You're right. ahead of your time.
Thank you. Next question.
Next question. What is something about autism that you wish more people understood?
Honestly, I feel like it's... Well, honestly, I don't pay much regard to those who don't understand it. But what I guess is worth understanding is that we are capable of more than what people let on.
Yeah.
Some people think we need... think you're incompetent in everything you are, but yet we are not blind, we are not deaf, we are just simply mute.
Mm-hmm.
We are a variety of different things, and whatever it are is, let it be known what we need and what we think is right. If people understood that we have the ability to voice our needs when we're ready, because everyone's ready at a different time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then I feel like it's worth noting that it's not worth trying to baby us forever, because people like me, the mild, the moderates, we find a way to live with it, mm-hmm. grow out of it, and find a new set of and find our way in the world, no matter how hard it may be with how our society is made.
I love that answer. Do you ever feel like you've been mistreated?
Not for being autistic.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been severely bullied in my life, but I've had a hard time making friends throughout my school years. Mm-hmm. I've tried. I mean, I had a few suitors, but they always lived so far away, it just never really stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in eighth grade, they all had standards for me as to what considered a friend. I had to eat candy, drink soda, watch cartoons, play more video games. Only one of those things I chose to do at the end of the day.
Which is not eating candy or drinking soda.
No, I've gotten back into cartoons.
Definitely.
Well, I was before we moved here. I was all over them. We moved here. We lost recording, so I lost sight. But in recent years, I've gone back. I watched Thomas again to celebrate me graduating high school.
I love that.
And in a year or two, I plan to turn back to a cartoon I loved growing up. So,
which is
it's called Clarence. It's definitely a strong premise for the show, and definitely about who you can be, and it is very funny at certain moments. So, I mean, I want to respect the plot lines and say that in a few years, when I have a bit more confidence and when I'm a bit more comfortable with still using my parents' streaming services, that's when I'm probably going to go for it. But I know that before my 30th birthday, I will have watched at least 3 or 4 seasons.
Full circle moment. I love that you're already planning that and you're manifesting it.
I'm a very concise planner, you know. How did this skill come about? Your viewers may want to know.
Yeah.
I guess it was just I like to know everything. Well, I learned there's some things you can't know from the offset. Mm-hmm. I've learned to live with those. I've learned to live with a lot of things.
Things you can't plan for.
But I've learned how to plan for these things. For example, when I was at camp, we kayaked, and I wore a shirt I slept in, so if it got wet, I wouldn't have to take...
You wouldn't be upset.
Yeah.
That you'd have to change.
That's how prepared I come.
Okay, so you're always thinking of what you need to do to not get thrown off or feel like you're out of control.
Well, I've certainly struggled, but I've grown and matured and developed a lot of things, and certainly... I certainly have, well, the skills I've learned, basically how, well, I have good medicine that gets me through these plights.
Okay. Like if you're feeling really stressed or out of control.
I have a good pill for these type of situations.
That's good.
I have this. My support system, unfortunately, is not what I would like it to be. But I understand that most of my friends are really busy at this point in their lives.
You mean your friends?
Well, my genuine friends, I would say, are family friends of ours. Mm-hmm. My brother and I would vacation with them every year for several years. Most of them are in college, but one of them is just about done with junior year of high school.
Cool.
But I consider them genuine and.
And you have a great family that supports you.
Yes. I know my brother supports me. What I do, my parents look out for me as much as they can.
Yes.
I certainly would like to be able to do more for my second cousins because I have three of them out by Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I have one that went to my grad party and he works in the warehouses of Boyle Construction.
Oh.
When I look back at my grandfather, who died 4 years ago, I always say that he'd be proud of where I'd be right now.
100%.
Because I take after him, like I take after my dad.
Yeah.
The way that we had a temper, the way that we were dedicated to something, and the way that, and almost in the way that we had a very surreal sense of comedy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was going to ask you about next.
Go ahead.
Making people laugh and making people happy. I feel like that's something that comes very naturally to you. Is that something you kind of like intentionally try to do every day, or do you feel like it just is innate for you?
I've learned with time to be kinder to people and that there are times where you should not say anything if you can help it. Well, If I can help it, I will never lie unless I'm in witness protection, I'm planning an elaborate surprise, or I'm a pathological liar because these pathological liars, they have no choice.
Right.
Because until they're exposed, they have to do it. If I'm not any of those things, then I'm not lying. If it can be hurtful, the way I prefer to do it is to shut up.
What do you mean?
Not say anything instead of hurt their feelings.
Oh.
I'll tell you the truth, but it might hurt your feelings.
Well, I don't think you've ever hurt my feelings because I think even when you are put in a position where you feel like you have to, you know, tell the truth and it might not be something that someone wants to hear, you have such a way to do it that is still caring for the other person. Like I've never seen you be mean ever.
It's been hard to keep that moniker all the time. Sometimes I definitely want to be a little needlessly cruel, but more often than not I've led away from it, saying it doesn't help, and I've turned away from cursing, believing I only want to say free curse words from now on.
Are you going to say them?
Are you interested?
I don't know. How bad are they?
Not bad enough to do what bridesmaids did.
What do they start with? What letters do they start with?
CH and one of them is a series of four words. But it's a series of four words that refers to a female dog.
Oh, okay. What's the C word? What's the curse word that starts with a C?
Crap.
Oh.
But to quote one of your movies,
wow, thank you so much.
There's really something wrong. There's something wrong with the word. It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit not spoken often.
And that's one of the only ones you'll say.
Well, nothing wrong with it. I figure, why can't I say it?
Right. No, you can say whatever you want.
However, I chose not to use the major ones. As I talked about earlier, the seven dirty words from Carlin.
Oh, yes.
I've stopped saying all of those words, saying cursing does nothing but make things worse.
Interesting. You don't feel like sometimes it's nice to just let it rip?
There are more productive ways to let your anger out. I myself feel that writing is a way that typically it's used to make me distract myself. But in some ways, if you ask someone the right kind of question, if you get someone a cup of tea, shoulder massage, any of those things is better than just saying words that you can't take back.
That's true. I wish I could tap into that sometime.
All right, back to the main point
then. Okay, sorry. Okay, so going back to thinking about movies and TV, do you feel like there are characters that represent you well, or anyone who might have autism or be on the spectrum?
I've been looking forward to this for a while. It's not characters who have autism, because I saw the movie last year. I wouldn't say I totally like it, but I do like that he is a big DVD collector, as am I.
Who is, what is it?
It's called The Unbreakable Boy. It has an actor who endorsed Trump. Besides that, I think he has a good style to him.
Who's the actor?
Zach Levi. He was in Tangled.
Oh, okay.
He was in Tangled. He was in American Underdog. He was Shazam. He was great in Shazam. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
But I watched this one. I wouldn't say I care much for it, because there were some story elements that just, it was way too long for me. I haven't watched it since. Frankly, it's not people who are actually autistic. It's more like a certain statement a character can make.
Okay. Or like a hobby, or like a quirk that they have.
Well, to the character in the film, I can relate to the DVD collection. Besides that, it was too long and the plot got lost on me.
Do you watch Love on the Spectrum?
I've tried it a few times. I would say it's nice, but
it doesn't do it for you.
I figured out what true love is, and it's called There's Something About Mary.
That movie?
I feel like at the end, I'd be happiest if you.
Aww.
What about Brett? What's the first time I met? I'm a Niners fan.
Aww.
And the way they kiss, and the way that they almost, it's almost ended. But the fact that they all turn to her like that, and the opening is just so, she's so pretty, and it's not me being attracted to the model they used, but seeing the way she was and the funny situation he got himself into.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I watched it a few weeks ago, really understanding it, because the first time I watched it, I did not understand who Woogie was when it was revealed who he actually was. I mean, the second time I really understood it a lot better. But I'm say that has true love. The Princess Bride is true love. I like to say Longshot is true love.
So there's other stories of love that resonate with you way more than Love on the Spectrum.
I'd say there's elements I like. I'm not really good at TV shows. I mean, I was good at some shows for a while. But to go back to the character thing. I've liked Big Bang, and people compare me to Sheldon. And well, I would say I can relate to the memory of his, to the knowing songs back front to back.
Yep.
And relating to a grandfather, I like it, but I would say I'm much kinder than he is.
I was just gonna say that you're so much nicer than him.
Well, I'm kinder, and I'm also not as immature as he is.
Mm.
Because for whatever it is I do, I'm bigger on my mistakes than he is.
Yeah.
But I've compared myself to some bums, some lowlifes, to make myself feel better about living in my parents' house than today. But recently I found out Rudolph is who I compare with in a lot of ways.
Rudolph, like the musical?
The reindeer.
I know, but do you mean the movie with...
Well, the movie, the claymation movie.
Oh, okay. But have you seen the musical?
I have no.
It's so good.
I'll definitely look into it down the line.
Okay.
But I'm going to say that to me... Today, I consider my favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Aww.
But I look at him in the sense that he was teased, he was misunderstood.
Yeah.
But the fact was that he could do something that no one else could, and we autistics can do that very same thing.
Yeah.
The fact is, we were born with it, we didn't develop it over time.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, I'm going to say that what makes him different, and this speciality, in the sense that even the lesson in the film, you can't away from your problems, better to face them head on. I honestly find myself, and even in school, I could say I was a misfit toy sometimes. Mm. Some say I've always had a relation to that. It took me a while to realize it, honestly. But
Really?
Well, it wasn't until a year or so ago that I finally made the connection. But today I find myself saying, this is a character who is special, who is unique, who has a hard time fitting in.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, while there are plenty of books that tap into this universal construct,
yep,
this is where it's it it's very upfront about it, and I respect it. And I'm going to say the fact that they all found a sense of respect in whatever they were, that is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So yes, Rudolph is who I compare with 110%.
I love that. And you just made me think of something. It's not on the question list, if that's okay.
Continue.
But I was thinking, like, I understand why people ask this, but a lot of the times people say, like, well, how old were you when you realized you were gay? Like, asking me. And I always say, like, that's a weird question because I just always felt that.
Well, from my mother's perspective, I learned it between the ages of 4 and 6.
But she, like, talked to you about it?
She never sat me down. I just understood it with time.
Oh, okay.
Well, after an episode of mine, I said, am I autistic? And she said, you kind of are. I mean, this was before Asperger's was classified to be just a part of the spectrum itself.
Okay.
And in such period, I found a character in a book who knew Putin presidents like I did, having Asperger's like I did.
Oh.
I mean, I even found a book, The Complete Guide to Asperger's Syndrome. I still have it on my shelf today.
And you read it?
I didn't read it, but I'm going to keep it in case I need down the line.
Yeah.
I definitely believe I had Asperger's before 2025 when I went to a camp with people with learning disabilities.
Okay.
Or they called it neurodivergent people.
Yep. But from how early can you remember feeling like that? Because I'm just thinking of my own experience. Like, I can remember in, like, first grade having a moment.
Well, they often want to protect their children. A respectable move.
But yeah.
I would just say I kind of realized. Sometimes we had talks when I had major problems saying, you are autistic and you are learning. You are a work in progress. When I first heard about Loveland Spectrum, I was adamantly opposed.
Oh, really?
Yes, it should be. Yes, I thought that you would have figured that out by now.
Did you feel like it was exploiting people?
Well, that is I never thought that. I respect what it is, but I just, it kind of felt like a lot, and it felt like a major stepping point. And I mean, looking at it these days, I'm less mad, but I learned that they want fully autistics, and I'm not as autistic as they'd like me, as they'd like their contestants to be.
Mm.
So I'm just gonna say, however, thankfully, I do plan to take matters in my own hand and have my first date within a year of my 20th age.
Okay, how do you think you'll go about it? Like, will you go on an app?
Well, I definitely have to go on an app. If things go according to plan, I'll be at a college, a special college. I mean, I'm definitely going to see if there's anyone around.
Yeah.
Because there are plenty of fish in the sea. but if I have to, I will turn to the online site. But I've taken this matter, and what I think is that eventually I realized who I realized the skill set. I felt pretty awkward about it sometimes, felt kind of ashamed about it, but right now I can understand where I'm coming from, and I believe that most people, excepting Elon Musk, they respect their artistic side pretty well, and honestly Musk just does not do that.
Yeah.
He has not done that enough. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld said he's autistic, but he said he can relate to being autistic.
Okay.
He's left-handed like I am.
Oh, I didn't know you were left-handed. How did I not realize?
Well, yes, I'm left-handed, and that was the first joke he wrote professionally, actually.
Oh, about being left-handed?
It's so negative. Left-handed compliment. Leftovers. Do you go to party? No, we left. and I guess learning about these kind of things would make me get into comedy. But if one person always made me laugh, Rodney Dangerfield.
Who, what is he, how would I know him?
I tell you, I get no respect.
What is he in?
He was in Caddyshack. He was in Back to School.
Oh, Caddyshack. Wow, that's a throwback.
Honestly, he was great as a one-time Simpsons character.
Do you ever feel like you use humor as a shield?
I wouldn't say a shield. It is not an exterior, because one thing about me, I have no... What's the word I'm looking for?
Filter?
Yes, yes, that's what I'm looking for. I have no filters. I am what I am, and what I am, I think, is fine. So,
more than fine, buddy.
So I've just, well, it's good to use that because I remember romantic comedy I've watched a few times.
What is it?
Isn't it romantic?
I've never seen it.
Rebel Wilson.
I love Rebel Wilson.
She's the lead.
Do you know she's married to a woman now?
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so there was a film where she grows up, well, she's a pretty woman. Her mother degrades it. She spends 25 years hating rom-coms. Mm. Then she gets into an out-of-body experience and wakes up at, she lives in New York her whole life. She wakes up in New York where the air smells clean, where men stop and look at her, and into a world where she is the lead romantic in a PG-13 romantic comedy.
Oh, maybe I have seen this.
And before this, she's an architect. And in the real world, she's more the bitch than the worker.
Oh.
But she has someone working for her, and she says, when I wake up to the news, I'm like, oh, that's so sad. I put on Sweet Home Alabama. I'm like, oh, that's so funny.
Mm.
I mean, that kind of perspective is that comedy helps us. I mean, they say laughter is the best medicine, being unless you're dealing with loss.
Right.
When you're dealing with loss, there are no jokes that can get you out of that loophole. But believe me when I say grief, I've never really had grief. I mean, grief just came in watts, but it didn't come in right immediately at the fact. It took some time for the grief to come.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but no, I take it from my father that grief doesn't really shake us up. It's going to, I mean, when I know when Gigi is gone, I'll be shaken up.
Yeah.
You
focus on, do you think about like anticipation of losing someone close to you?
Well, I don't come prepared because we live today. Tomorrow, anything can happen.
That is true. But it's hard to not worry about.
Well, here's the deal. Take what you can from it. Take what you can while you have it.
Mm.
I mean, too often we don't appreciate what we have until it's gone.
That's true.
And I know what's going to happen, but thinking about it is not worth it because we can't do anything about it, so we should just continue to live our lives.
I have another question for you.
Keep on asking them.
Okay, if someone is listening who either is autistic or the parent of someone, what would you say to the child and what would you say to the parents?
To the child, I would say this. You are a very special gift of God. God, religion is a very complicated issue, but in the end of the day, I believe in a God, or I believe there's something beyond time and space, what Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about.
Okay.
And to me, I say this, you were created from nothingness. You were created with the best of intentions. You are not a waste of space.
Mm.
You are special and unique. And the world has a hard time seeing people like us. But as you heard of Rudolph, Clarice is who cheers him up and tells him, the nose is what makes you so grand. Why don't you like to be with someone like you? Well, find a Clarice in your life. The person who says, you are amazing the way you are. You are special, even cute, if you're lucky enough.
Mm-hmm.
But there will always be a Clarice-like figure in your life. You can't find them. You just haven't found them yet.
Mm.
Look for this person somewhere. They will support you unconditionally. They will never turn away from you, no matter what happens. They will forgive you for every little thing you do. If you apologize, if you are genuine, and if you find a way to always be kind, because we are blessed. We are blessed with an ability to perceive the world better. Well, okay, not better, but in a very special way.
Yeah.
While it is not easy, this helps make us resilient. And this helps make us cheer up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, don't spend time mulling over what you're not. Say, me being this way, I didn't pick this, but the fact that I am, this is very special. I am unique. So my bottom advice to you, there is a Clarice out there waiting for you, not only in terms of love, but in terms of friends, family, support, the toughest times, and they will come no matter how many people keep pushing you down, for every 10 Mocker, there's 5 Clarices.
I like that.
To the parents.
Yeah. Parents and teachers, let's say.
Well, to the people who have autistics around them, they are rare eccentric birds. Birds who come along one in a million. It's not one in a billion one in a billion. Mm-hmm. Look, find a way to get to them. Find a way to make sure they don't feel so bad. Find a way to understand that it's okay to be different. That it's okay to not be the way everyone else is. Because, as I keep saying, that's what makes us so grand.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what makes it a... And so I'm going to say, if you had a rare eccentric bird, if you were given the task of taking care of it, like in Rio, if you had that opportunity, don't waste it.
Mm.
Nurture them. Do what you think makes sense for them. Well, I say the appropriate age to tell someone that they are this way is between 11 and 13. Protect their first 10 years. Let them develop. Let them learn how to talk, to walk, to read. A lot of skills. Let them start making friends. Let them start eating more food. I mean, I remember when I was 10, we'd already moved two times big league and one time little league. So I know I went through a good portion before I turned 10, or in this case, 11. But when you turn those ages, it's not a thing that's worth having a sit down talk about. Just say that one time. Say, I know it's been a while, but I'd like to give you a bedtime story tonight for old time's sake. And find a book that you think is about someone special and unique. Use this character and say, you know who I just read about? They were unique. They were special. Don't let anyone make you who you aren't, because there are some people that you could be, but you're not. Just be proud of your heritage, who you are. Don't get cocky, because that never ends well. But do be proud of your abilities, your perception of the world, and say, we didn't tell you immediately because we wanted to let you be innocent. You didn't quite understand it. When you were between the ages of 1 and 10, maybe even 11, if you choose to do it at 12, we wanted to make sure that you weren't overwhelmed, that you would have an excuse. We wanted to understand, to protect your early years and let you develop before you learned some bombshells of the kind.
Yep.
This is my advice to you. You have a rare and eccentric bird in your care. Let them spread their wings if they need be. Let them go out, find something worth doing, just like in Rio, and never stop believing that they have potential of one kind or another. All right, that's what I have to say.
Beckett, you are truly one of the coolest, most inspirational people I know. And you have this way with me personally, and I feel like anyone who's listening will be able to tap into it too. But like, anytime I'm feeling down or sad or stressed, you have a way of just making me feel so present and in the moment. And I really just want to thank you for taking the time to do this for me, and also giving other people the opportunity to listen to you.
In my opinion, friendship is about favors. It's also about giving.
Yeah.
So someone who can count on you, they can count on you. And all I want to be is help to my friends. And people say they'd be lucky to have me as a friend. Well, know that if you find me, you may see the lottery of good friends.
Yes. A rare eccentric bird that I'm happy to know and privileged.
You are the exact same way.
Well, thanks, bud. You're the best.
Is that everything?
I think that's it. Is there anything you feel you wanted to add?
Nope.
Final quote?
Here's definitely a quote that okay. I like that I think is cool.
Perfect.
Everything you can imagine is real. Picasso.
Everything you can imagine is real. I like that.
Well, it signifies that our dreams are not lost on us. Well, to quote Van Morrison, dreams can come true if we want them to.
Can we go listen to some Van Morrison right now?
One thing before we do.
Okay.
Give me the song that the Swain student wrote for In the Foyer.
Yes! Oh my gosh, if you're listening, Mel Turk. It's, yes, of course. Beckett Schuster. What's your middle name?
Anthony.
Beckett A. Schuster. Thank you for being on Be the People. It's been a true honor.
It's been an absolute honor. I hope you enjoyed my words.
Forever. Thanks everyone for listening. Bye.